Beloved friends, we greet you in the precious name of the one who is called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins, as it is recorded in Matthew 1 and verse 21. We come to our closing message on the scripture of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Today we consider the last two great titles that were given by the prophet to him that was born in Bethlehem, to the one whom he claimed to be the Son, the eternal Son of God, given for our salvation. Those last titles that we consider today from our text of Isaiah chapter 9, those titles are the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Note the title, the Everlasting Father, better translated from the original text, the Father of Eternity. My beloved, let me consider with you again that blessed babe who was born in Bethlehem hundreds of years ago, before he ever came to the earth, was by the Spirit of God declared to inhabit and possess eternity. We now quote the words of Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, which say, "Thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, and whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit." May I point out two lessons that can be learned from this title? Father of Eternity. First of all, as already suggested, he inhabits and dwells in eternity. He is an eternal being. Friend, take it in. Was the babe of Bethlehem an eternal person? Yes, he was. High and holy, inhabiting eternity. That is why the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Luke 1:35. The second lesson we can learn from this title, note it, you can't help but see it. He is called by the name of Father, the Everlasting Father, or the Father of Eternity. This suggests by the name Father, he is loving, he is tender, he is compassionate, all wise, faithful in his instructions and provisions. And does it not suggest and remind us of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2? Where Micah foretold that the little town of Bethlehem would receive the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, even from the days of eternity. My beloved, think very carefully and ponder very prayerfully. The babe of Bethlehem is not, and he was not, just an ordinary babe. He is the Father of Eternity. My beloved friend, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl that has been born into this world came out of eternity. The babe of Bethlehem had no beginning of existence. He lived in eternity before he ever came to the earth. My beloved, you and I have a beginning. We began on the earth by birth. But don't forget it, my beloved friend, we have no ending, though. But the babe of Bethlehem had no beginning. So the birth at Bethlehem was only the beginning of his humanity. Yes, beloved, he is the Father of Eternity. Surely we can and we should be singing, "Oh, come, let us adore him." But last of all, Isaiah tells us that Christ has another title, Prince of Peace. Now please know very carefully, the prophet does not call him the King of Peace, but the Prince of Peace. For when the Lord Jesus came to the earth, the first occasion, they kill the Prince of Life, said Peter in Acts chapter 3 and verse 15. You know very perfectly they crucified their king when he came to the earth. Instead of giving him a throne, they gave him a cross. Instead of giving him a glorious crown, they made him a crown of thorns. And on that occasion, the multitude cried, "Away with him, away with him, we will not have this man to reign over us." They declared, "We have no king but Caesar." My beloved, the language of the world today in its conduct has not changed. It is still the same. Christ is a rejected king. But Isaiah declares, and it is true, he is the Prince of Peace. Now in the royalty of earth, a prince in due time succeeds to the throne. So is it with the Lord Jesus Christ. Someday he will be crowned as the king yet. Now you take the Gospel of Matthew. You read the Savior's genealogy in chapter 1. It proves him to be the rightful heir to the royal throne of Israel through David. Furthermore, let us not forget, he did not stay in the grave, but he rose from the dead, and he still lives. So still being alive, he is still the rightful claimant to the throne of David. There is no successor but him. Today, he is a prince. But when he comes again in glory, he will sit upon the throne of his glory, according to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. My beloved, the words of Gabriel to Mary will be fulfilled when Gabriel told her, "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Luke 1:32. And what will happen? Well, let me quote the words of Zechariah 9 and 10. "When he takes that throne, he shall speak peace unto the nations, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth." Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 10. 'Tis written by the psalmist in chapter 72 of the book of Psalms and verse 7. "In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth." My beloved, let me say again, he will come and be the King of Peace. But until then, let me remind you what the Word of God says. "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21. My beloved, let me suggest, never place any confidence in any worldly peace movement. They will all fail. But it will never be such when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks peace. Then wars will cease, yet not before then. My beloved friends, read Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and also verse 7. You will learn great truths and eternal truths about the One whom we remember was born in Bethlehem centuries ago. You will learn who He is. You will learn what He is. Let me quote the words again. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, and the Prince of Peace." But let me go on with verse 7 to say, as quoted there, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." My beloved, when he comes to be the King of Peace, there will be no limit to his great kingdom. My beloved, may I ask you a question? Will you be in that great kingdom? Let me remind you what the Lord Jesus said to a very notable and religious Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John chapter 3, verse 3. Verily, verily, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, you may raise the question, as did Nicodemus, how can a man be born again? Let me quote the words of Jesus as he spoke to Nicodemus that night. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. My beloved friend, if you never have done so, why do you not seek the one who was born at Bethlehem to find and to know him as your own Savior? His journey upon the earth began in the manger, but you know where it ended. It ended upon the cross, where for you and for me he died for our sins. My beloved, let me suggest to you, never think of the Lord Jesus in Bethlehem alone. Never dwell upon that only. Follow his journey through life with the impeccable character of holiness and sinless and holy purity, that he might die upon the cross of Calvary, a fitting, eligible sacrifice for every sinner. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Be sure that you get to Calvary. I do not ask if you've ever been to Bethlehem. I prefer to ask the question, have you ever been to Calvary? A dear man was preaching in Hyde Park, London, many years ago. A passerby ridiculed him by crying out, have you ever been to college? The man answered quickly, no, I haven't, but I have been to Calvary. Have you, my friend? For Jesus, my Savior, on Calvary's tree, paid the great debt my soul he set free. Oh, it was wonderful. How could it be? Dying for me, for me. Father, bless thy word in the Savior's name for his glory. Amen.